Good. Everybody excited about Christmas? Not really, huh? All right. We're glad to see you. As Austin said, if you're visiting here, we're glad to have you. For those of you who are usually here, we're also glad to have you. And I hope you guys are off to the start of a good holiday. We hope you have a great Christmas. Looking forward today to wrapping up this series called Experiential God. Looking at the last few weeks, how our experiences often shape the way we see God. And unfortunately, some of the experiences we have in the world give us a view of God that isn't actually true. And so the good news, though, is we have the Bible, we have Scripture, and we have Jesus that we can look at and see who God really is, to begin to understand what He is really like. Bible tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, that we can look at Him and understand who God is and what God's like. And we've been going back and looking at the promises that were given to this man named Abraham. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. This is where this starts. But there are these promises that are made to Abraham. One of those promises is that through his seed, through his offspring, he would be a blessing to all nations. Now, we're going to actually read today out of Galatians, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, where Paul talks about Abraham. And so today I want us to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Then, as we've been doing each week, we're going to go to John 3, 16 and really look at how Jesus fulfilled the promises that were given so long ago. And we're going to jump into this and look at the very last part of John 3:16. So if you turn to Galatians, you go through the New Testament, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you go through Acts, you go through the book of Romans, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you'll come to Galatians. And so Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, this is what it says, speaking about Abraham. It says, the promises, these are what we've been looking at, were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. And so he's saying the fulfillment of the Scripture, the promise that all the nations would be blessed through Abraham, was not a promise that many people were going to bring this blessing, but that one person was going to bring this blessing. And Paul is saying this person is Jesus, and he would be the one who brings the blessing to many nations. Now let's drop back to John chapter 3, verse 16. I want to actually read 16 through 18. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And this is the part we're looking at today, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the truth that helps us to know you. We thank you for the picture and the image and the life of Jesus that gives us an accurate understanding of you. God, I thank you today that we could come to an actual or a true understanding of what Christmas is, what was really lying in that manger, who was really born, what it was all about, God. And I pray today that we would leave here with hearts of gratitude for who you are and what you've done. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for your Spirit right now that is here. I pray that he would move in our hearts, and God, that we would be different. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, really wanting to look at this Galatians promise and realizing that Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise, that he is that seed of Abraham who would bring the blessing to all nations. And today, it's not only about getting a clearer, more accurate understanding of who God is because of our experience having distorted that some, but I want us to get a clearer understanding of what Christmas is and really the birth of Jesus and what was really lying in that manger. And our experience has really distorted our understanding of that. We understand that people say, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? But I believe it goes deeper than that. I think we've romanticized Christmas to a point where sometimes we've made it something that is sort of soft and fluffy and fuzzy, and it's anything but, right? A king was born, and this was such a big deal that King Herod was so intimidated by the birth of Jesus that he ordered that every male 2 years old and younger be murdered because of the birth of Jesus. It wasn't a warm and fuzzy story. It's something that is weighty. It's something that was serious. And that's what we're looking at today. We're looking at how Jesus became the blessing. His birth was the beginning of the blessing to all nations. Now, you know that it's Christmas, and I can't go through Christmas without talking about my favorite movie, which is Christmas Vacation. You got it. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the blessing, and you know who came to mind? Aunt Bethany, right? Everybody's got an Aunt Bethany. Aunt Bethany didn't know who she was, where she was. She didn't know who she was. But they get to the table scene, and Clark is like, being that it's Aunt Bethany's 80th birthday, I'd like to ask Aunt Bethany to say the blessing. And she says, or say grace. And she says, Grace, she died 30 years ago. And so her husband finally looks at her. She doesn't have a clue, right? Husband finally looks at her and he says, the blessing, right? Y'all remember that part? Well, today we want to clarify the blessing. We want to understand what the blessing is. What is the blessing that we're talking about? When it says that through Abraham's seed, through Jesus Christ, the nations would be blessed when Jesus was born and he was here to bring that blessing. And what does it even mean, right? And so this is what we're looking at. And Scripture in John 3:16 tells us that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. If we're going to understand what the birth of Jesus was really about, if we're really going to understand who was in the manger, if we're really going to understand why creation even responded to the birth of Jesus, then here's the first thing we need to understand. We need to understand the world that Jesus was born into. We need to understand the world that Jesus was born into. When God put on flesh and he came to earth, we need to understand the world that he came into. Because here's the thing. Jesus didn't come into a world where there were some good and some evil. Jesus came into a world that Romans 3:10 says that there was no one who's righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They've altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Merry Christmas, have a happy new year, right? Not even one, but all were evil. Jesus came into a world. It wasn't where some were condemned and some were not. It wasn't that some were sinners and some were saints. It wasn't that some would perish and others would live. It wasn't that some walked in the light and others walked in darkness. It wasn't that some were enemies of God and others were sons and daughters. It wasn't that some were lost and others were found. It wasn't that there were some that were spiritually blind while others could see. It wasn't that some were spiritually alive and others were dead. It wasn't that some had hope and others were hopeless. You got to understand the nature of the world that Jesus came into, the nature of the world today apart from Christ is evil. You've got to understand that all stood condemned, that all were sinners, that all would perish, that all were walking into darkness, that all were God's enemies, that all were lost, that all were spiritually blind, that all were spiritually dead, that all were hopeless and without hope in the world. And that's the world that Jesus was born into. That's the world that God put on flesh and stepped into to rescue and redeem and reconcile his creation. There was nothing good. There was no one good. No, not one. It's not like God looked at the world. This is how I was thinking about this. It's not like God looked at the world. He didn't look at the people. He didn't look at the world and look at the people and go, oh, how adorable. Right? It's not like looking at a puppy. Like, how many of you looked at a puppy and a puppy's so cute? And you're like, oh, how adorable. I want one. And you take it home. And here's the thing. God looking at the world was more like once the puppy grew up and it stained your carpet, it tore up your furniture and bit the neighbor. That's more about what it looked like for God. It's not like a baby, a little baby. And here's the thing. Newborns aren't cute. I'm sorry. If you think a newborn is cute, it's because it's yours. And everybody else is going to say, oh, how precious. But in their mind, they're thinking, that thing looks like an alien. It's got a pointy head. It's got like this weird red-colored skin. But then it gets a little older. And people are like, oh, how adorable, how precious. We make stupid faces at them to try to get them to smile, right? We say things that we don't even understand. Like, I was thinking about this today. And some of y'all said this, but don't get offended. But some people look at a little baby and they're like, he is so cute, I could just eat him up. Have you thought about what you're saying? That's cannibalism, right? I don't even know what that means. He's so cute, I could just eat him up. I'm like, get away from my child. And so we look at them, we're like, oh, how adorable, how awesome. But the world, listen, the world that God looked at was more like once that cute, adorable little baby that you want to eat up has become a teenager and he's stained your carpet and he's destroyed your furniture and hopefully, but possibly he bit the neighbor, right? That's more like the world that God saw. God didn't look at the world and think it was adorable. He looked at the world and it was deplorable. There was nothing good. There was nothing good about it. It was evil. But because of God's nature, because of who he is, he couldn't turn away from the hopeless. And here's a fact, and some people, you're not going to like this because your baby's perfect. I understand. But here's a fact. When we look at Jesus as a baby, we really shouldn't look at him and think, oh, how adorable. We should look at him and think, how horrible that the only truly innocent baby was born for this purpose. The only baby who was born truly innocent would grow into the only righteous man who ever lived, and the only righteous man who ever lived would become unrighteous so we could become the righteousness of God. That's the baby that was in that manger. That's the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. That's the baby that would grow into the only righteous, the only innocent man who would become unrighteous. That's the man who was sinless, who would take on our sin and take the punishment for our sin. That's the man who stood condemned so that we could be made right. He's the one who took on sin so that we could become a saint. He's the one that was willing to perish so that we would never have to. He's the one that took on the darkness of our sin so we could walk in the light. He's the one that for that time became an enemy of God so that we could become his sons and daughters. He's the one that took on our spiritual death so that we could come to spiritual life. Because God was so good that he came not to condemn the world, but to save it. I want you to understand this. God didn't send Jesus. Jesus didn't come to earth. God didn't put on flesh because we were so good. Jesus came to earth and he was born and lived a perfect life and took our sin and took the punishment for that sin, not because we were so good and because we were so deserving, but because God is so good and he is so loving. He loves us because he is love. We love him because he first loved us. So you look at John 3:18 and it tells us that we were basically already condemned. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned. And here's the key word, already. Already. Those who haven't believed in Christ, those who were before Christ, even those in the Old Testament who were made righteous by faith, they still had to have their sin paid for by Jesus. And those who never trusted God by faith stood condemned already. I think about this. Sometimes people talk about sharing the gospel like throwing a lifesaver to someone who's drowning. Like throwing a flotation, trying to give them something they can hold on to so that they don't drown. But I want you to see this, and I want you to understand this, that when Jesus came into the world, we were all drowning. And I want you to understand that it's way more personal than somebody just tossing you a flotation device. Jesus didn't just toss you an opportunity to live. He literally reached down and pulled you up out of the mire and muck of your sin, and he put you on a firm foundation. He literally plucked you out of spiritual death, and he gave you spiritual life. He literally took your spiritually dead life, and he put his spirit in you. He took your heart of stone and he gave you a heart of flesh. He sprinkled you with clean water and he made you clean. But we all stood condemned before Jesus entered the world, before Jesus paid the price for our sin. And I want you to understand this. Before Jesus, there was one fate for all people. There was one fate for all people. There was one option for all people, and that was to perish. People can say Christianity is closed-minded, but I can tell you this, there's a lot more options now than there were before Jesus lived. Because we had one fate and one fate only, and that was to perish. And when it talks about perishing, it means spending eternity without God, separated from God. It means spending eternity without knowing God, without a relationship with God. It means spending eternity basically in what the Bible calls hell, separated from God in darkness and in spiritual death forever. But because of Jesus, listen, Jesus brought a second option. When Jesus was born and he came into the earth, and this seed that was talked about hundreds and hundreds of years before, who would bring this blessing to all nations, he brought a second option. But understand, there's two options. There's only two options. Understand this, there are two options. To perish or to have eternal life. There is no in between. It's either commitment to Christ, I know Christ, I have a relationship with Jesus, or perish. There is no in-between. There is no, well, that's your truth and this is my truth. No, this is the truth. There is one name by which we can be saved, and his name is Jesus. And that's why he was born into this earth, into an evil world, is so that we would have a second option. And that second option is eternal life. But here's the other thing. We oftentimes have an experiential knowledge of eternal life. Like, we think about eternal life, but I don't think we oftentimes know what eternal life really is. Sometimes I think we believe eternal life just means everlasting life. Like, we are going to just live forever. And that is part of it, but that's not all of it. That's just a piece of it. We get this really misconstrued idea of heaven, right? Like, somehow we're just going to be floating around on clouds. Some people, you'll hear them and they'll say things like, somebody dies and they're like, well, God just needed another flower for his garden. I want to be a flower for eternity. Well, now they've got their wings. No, those are angels. We're not angels. And so we've got this really misunderstanding of what eternal life is. And we need to clarify this because this is the blessing, right? So if you go to John chapter 17, look at John chapter 17. And we're just going to read verse 3. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says this. He says, now this is eternal life. All right? He's about to give us the definition, the understanding of eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is to know the one true God, to know the Father, and to know Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That baby that was born, to know Jesus Christ and to know the Father. That is eternal life. And so here's the reality. Eternal life does not start once we die and this physical body no longer exists. Eternal life starts the moment that we say yes to Jesus and we have a relationship with the Father and we begin to know him. That is eternal life. And that happens forever through an everlasting life, is the knowledge of the Father. That is the blessing. To know the Father. Eternal life is not so much about everlasting life as it is knowing the one who is everlasting. It's about being able to have this relationship with God, to enjoy this relationship with God, to live out of this relationship with God, to find new life, to live in new joy, to know the peace of God, to know the goodness of God, to be plucked out of this evil world, to be transferred from this kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. This is eternal life. Thank you, one person. John chapter 14, listen, it makes it even more clear. John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You believe in God. Listen, believe, believe. He says those who believe will not perish. Belief, belief, belief is the key. Believing in Jesus, believe upon Jesus, call upon his name. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And listen to this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where? With me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I want you to see this. The purpose of this is to be with Jesus. The purpose of eternal life is to know him and to know the Father and to live in a relationship with them through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of the child who was born. The goal is to be with him. Listen, he went to make a place for us, to prepare a place. Yes. But I'm telling you, it's not about the mansion. It's about the man, Jesus Christ. How many of you like baseball? Any baseball fans? How many of you like going to watch a Braves game? Anybody been to a Braves game, been to Truist? Like Truist Park, pretty cool place, right? But what if you bought tickets to the Braves game and you get to Truist Park and you find your parking place and you walk all the way up there and you pay $94.50 for a hot dog and Coke and you get to your seat and then the announcer says, guys, listen, We're glad you joined us today, but the Braves, the team, they're not here. Who'd be upset? I'd want a refund. How about if you went to Sanford Stadium and you're all fired up and there's 90,000 people and they're all fired up and people got their face painted, they got their chest painted, and they're all fired up, right? But then they come over there and they announce like their dogs aren't here. What if you go to Paulson? How many Georgia fans we got? How many Eagles fans we got? Some of y'all raise your hand for both. You can't do that. You can't do it. Nope. Spiritual impossibility. Saved or not saved. Two options. Eternal life or perish. Some of y'all are arguing with me like from the, I have the microphone, I win. But what if you went to Paulson and the Eagles aren't there? What if you went to this fine restaurant and you were there to eat this really good meal, but there was no food? The point I'm making in this is you can be in the right place, but the whole point for being there isn't there. And some of us think about and view heaven that way. Some of us think about and view eternal life that way. Some of us think about and view everlasting life that way. Some of us think about eternity in that way. So that when we ask people many times, you know, what is your goal in going to heaven? Many people will say, well, I got a mansion. People will say things like, man, I can't wait to see so-and-so. I want to ask God a few questions. I wouldn't go there. Like you're going to walk up to the God of the universe and be like, you need to do some explaining to me. Not a good idea. Some people are like, you know, I just want to go and I want to walk on the streets of gold. I want to see the crystal sea. And all of that's good. But one of the fewest answers we get when we ask that question is I want to be with Jesus forever. And the thing about it is, you can be in the right place, but if God's not there, it's pointless. It is pointless. The greatest aspect of eternity in Christ is that we get to be with Him. And that doesn't have to just start when we die. It starts when we say yes to Christ. You can be in the right place, but the point for being there isn't there. Getting to heaven isn't the goal. Avoiding hell isn't the goal. Heaven without God isn't the goal. The goal is eternal life. It is to know the Father and His Son. I want you to see this Christmas, and I want you to understand this Christmas. I want this to sink into all of our hearts, including my heart. The blessing of Abraham is knowing God. The result of that is glorifying God. And what ends up happening through that is that the earth is filled with the knowledge of His glory. And that's what Jesus was born for. The point is being with God. Understand the way is Jesus, and what's required is belief. There's nothing you can do to earn the salvation. Everything for our salvation was accomplished in Jesus, the baby who grew up to be the man who lived a righteous life, who became unrighteous so we could become the righteousness of God, to be made right with God, to be made as we ought to be. That is the purpose. And as hard as it is to think about, that baby was born to die a death that if you are in Christ, you will never have to know. That baby was born to face a condemnation that you and I, if we're in Christ, will never have to face. That baby was born to take on a curse that if we're in Christ, we'll never have to experience. And as hard as it is to think about that, that is the truth. So, Father, today, I thank you that you loved us when we were so unlovable, that even when we were enemies, you sent your Son. You showed your love to us by giving him. That the God of the universe put on flesh and walked amongst us, lived amongst us, was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. That, Father, you made a sacrifice that no one else could make so that we could find life. God, I thank you that we don't have to perish, but that we can come to the eternal life, to know you and to know your Son, and to be filled with your Spirit. Father, we recognize today that you, O God, are holy. We recognize today that you are holy, that you are other. To be holy literally means other. To be other, that he is not like us. When that baby was born, he was holy. He was separated. He was consecrated. He was set apart. He was other. He was not like us. God, today we recognize your holiness and we worship you because you are holy and you are worthy of all our praise. And we love you and we thank you for the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.